Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
there is help and support there for people who are struggling. It's been such a difficult time. And whatever age you are, in whatever way the pandemic has affected you, it's the right thing to reach out and get help and support.
The texting nature of the service, do you think that that sort of worked for you in terms of the pandemic, when people were in houses where there may have been several family members, certainly within the house, maybe within the same room?
Text has been very good for people to reach out confidentially, silently, without being overheard. It really sort of reduces the barriers. Sometimes when we are feeling distressed or worried, it's quite hard to get the words out. So being able to just write it in a text has resonated with people.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Yeah, coming off the back of Mental Health Awareness Week, another edition of Mental Health Monday. Thank you for downloading. And thank you to everybody who's been sharing stories, talking about mental health, talking about mental health awareness in the last 7 days or so. Of course, for us, every day is a mental health day. Every week is a Mental Health Awareness Week. But I was really impressed by the sheer number of people who were sharing stories, setting up events, creating sort of news headlines that were really cutting through and getting through to people who maybe wouldn't normally hear it. Mental Health Awareness Week struck me as a really big success. And there's loads of different content that you can find currently up on the Mental Health Monday Facebook group, because last week, as part of my normal job, if you like, creating news content for the radio group that I work for, I had a million and one different conversations, and loads of people came forward with stories to tell. What I'll do over the forthcoming weeks is that I'll package them all together so you can hear those conversations in full, because there's some really interesting ones in there. Harry Judd from McFly swung by. We had a conversation about anxiety and how he benefited from getting out and about into the outdoors and nature, how that sort of benefited him. Also, Jake Quickenden, who you might know from X Factor, also Strictly Come Dancing, I think Dancing on Ice as well. We talked to him, and he was really open and honest about anxiety himself and the things that he'd gone through. Really, really honest conversations as well. So they're all to come in future weeks. Last week's conversation with Katie Piper, that was about getting back out and about into the world post-lockdown, which as of broadcast today, the 17th of May, is an opportunity for some people, depending of course where you're listening to this and when you're listening to this. But plenty more conversations as well, including the CCO, the Chief Clinical Officer for Couth, who was kind enough to give me a sneak preview of their new State of the Nation report. They have like a pulse check of the amount of people they're helping and supporting through their Couth platform. And that really shone a light on some of the issues that are facing different people out there at the moment. So that conversation's to come. Mental Health Awareness Week, though, wrapped up with the Mental Health Minute that went out on UK radio. And when I say UK radio, I mean every radio station in the country. At 10:59 a.m. on Friday, that's Friday the 14th of May, a one-minute broadcast, which was featuring a whole ream of different famous names. David Beckham, Duke and Duchess of Cambridge were on there as well, Joanna Lumley, Jesse Lingard. And they were essentially encouraging people to come forward and speak out, talk to people if they had mental health concerns. One of the beneficiaries of that, and one of the signposting services used for that, was the Shout Network. Now, I mention the Shout Network on every single episode of the programme. That's when I say text Shout to 85258. And I was lucky enough this week to catch up with their CEO, Victoria Hornby, who set out really the scale of the Shout Network and actually how texting and the text service that they offer actually worked for them in lockdown, for reasons that we'll get into as well. Their service is available by texting Shout to 85258, and they've got more than 2,000 volunteers who are responding, no matter what your age and no matter where you are. So that's Shout to 85258. And started off by talking through some of those very issues, but also the fact that UK radio had really embraced their service, and they were one of the key signposting tools to the Mental Health Minute.
Yes, absolutely. And I think what we really want people to do and to sort of hear, I suppose, during the minute and subsequently, is really that, you know, there is help and support there for people who are struggling. It's been such a difficult time, you know, over a year now. And whatever age you are, in whatever way the pandemic has affected you, it's the right thing to reach out and get help and support. And that's really the message that we want to get across. There's not, there's no stigma or shame in reaching out for help. It's absolutely what you should do, no matter your age or stage, or whether you've been feeling this way for a little while, whether you've just started just wondering whether what you're feeling is worrying, reach out. There are people there.
Absolutely. Let's talk about when people hear the phrase mental health innovations, they might not necessarily know what that is. But when they hear text shout to 85258 and they hear me saying it all the time, they'll suddenly go, oh, right, that's that thing. They might go, oh, isn't that the Prince William thing or the Kate thing, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge? But it's a service which set up at a time, I think, where the mental health conversation really started to pick up. And I imagine the year that you've just had makes you think, well, thank goodness we were able to establish ourselves in those brief sort of few years, so that by the time lockdown came around, that shout network was strong.
Yes, and we were very lucky, I suppose, to be in many ways, not that we knew we would need to be, but we were very sort of pandemic ready. So our service is digital, and all of our most of our team were remote anyway, so you know, our clinical team, our volunteers are all at home on laptops anyway, so that meant that we didn't really have an interruption in our service. And it also meant that, I mean, very luckily for us, we had a lot of volunteers who are the sort of front line of our service, if you like, who were at home much more than they would have normally been. And so they were able to give us more time over the pandemic. So the number of conversations we take every day has doubled. So we now take somewhere between, you know, sort of 1,300 and 1,500 a day. And about 30% of those are people who are reaching out for help for the first time. And that's really important. And I think text has been good for people over the pandemic because, you know, people have been a bit more kind of crowded at home, and finding a space to talk about how you're feeling, where you feel that it's confidential and you won't be overheard, is obviously more difficult. And so text has been very good for people to reach out confidentially, silently, without being overheard. And it really sort of reduces the barriers. Sometimes when we are feeling distressed or worried, it's quite hard to get the words out. So being able to just write it in a text, send it off, and then feel that that's just a sort of quite a gentle way of beginning a conversation has resonated with people.
Some people might hear that, you know, the conversations that you're having have doubled in lockdown, and they may well be horrified by that. But I think there's part of me which thinks, thank goodness they knew you were there. If more people are reaching out, that's more people who knew that there was a service available to them. Do you view that as a positive?
Yes, absolutely. And I think also what we really want is for people to reach out for help and to us or you know, whether that's to someone in their family, whoever it is, reach out for help early. And that's what we've found, that we have had people reaching out to us who've heard about the service, but reaching out early, so before they reach a point of crisis or before they reach a point where other things have started to unravel, if you like. So again, you know, that can be someone of any age, but that first step is the really important step. So we always try with our texters to work with them to identify someone else that they can talk to around them, whether that's a family member or a teacher or a work colleague or a GP, whoever it might be. Find that person who you can have the confidence to really explore how you're feeling and get that help and support. And we really want people to get that help and support as early as possible.
When people hear the Mental Health Minute and they hear that number and they hear that it's a text service, what response do you hope that they have?
So I suppose, you know, anyone who's listening to the Mental Health Minute who is worried about how they're feeling, I hope they'll reach out. Anyone who's listening to the Mental Health Minute who's a bit worried about someone else, just seeing signs that actually someone's, you know, not as sort of relaxed or happy as they used to be, someone who's you know, clearly feeling a little bit worried or distressed, that they'll encourage them to reach out for help and support. And that they'll just make, you know, that we just need to make it a kind of as normal as going to the GP because you're not feeling well, you know, because you've got a bit of a sore throat or whatever it might be, we need to think of our mental health in exactly the same way that we think about our physical health, which is not feeling quite, you know, quite right. So I'm gonna ask for some help.
I wonder whether or not sometimes people think, well, because they associate physical health with the NHS and hospitals and buildings and things like that. I think sometimes when people think about mental health, they think about charitable organisations and different types of organisations. And I think sometimes they think, oh, well, I don't want to bother a charity or a foundation or anything like that. That's you know, I don't want to put my problems onto them. But actually, you know, you guys Shout, a huge, you know, 2,300 volunteers.
Yeah.
That you've got, which is a huge number of people who are trained, who are ready, and I guess volunteer because they want to have these conversations.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So we have, you know, we have an extraordinary number of amazing people who want to have those conversations. So, you know, we're not we're absolutely not saying, you know, please don't talk to us unless it's very serious. Please don't, you know, we're very busy, please don't come to us. We're really saying, you know, we're here, and actually we really want to talk to you. We really want you to feel that we're there for you. And I suppose the nice thing about our conversations, I mean, we talk about them, you know, about the number, and there are obviously loads of them, but they're all one-to-one conversations. So that is, you know, you and one other person talking about how you feel. And, you know, as you said, we have 2,500 of them who want to have those one-to-one conversations and just listen. And help you kind of explore how you're feeling. We're not too busy, nothing's too small. One of the things that has been really noticeable for us across all the time that we've been available to people, but particularly during the pandemic, is that people often feel that they're not worthy of support, or their issue isn't important enough, or, you know, there's other people that are more important. And that's absolutely not the case. We want to talk to anyone who is in that moment and isn't feeling great. And it might be that moment passes, and that's fantastic. You know, we're really not going to sit there afterwards and think, oh, that was a waste of time. Every single conversation is important to us, and we have, you know, we have time for them.
Have those conversations changed during lockdown? You talk on the website about the sorts of issues that people will text you about. Is that changed at all? Have the nature of the conversations changed at all as a result of what we've experienced in the last year?
So I think the conversations, I mean, we've seen a lot more anxiety. We've seen a lot more kind of worry, and that's entirely normal. It's been a really worrying time. I suppose the interesting thing about what we have seen over the pandemic is how much news and events affect people. So at the moment, you know, it's great that we're seeing a really clear roadmap. People understand, you know, what the next steps are. I think where that's been less clear for people, where we've had sort of sudden announcements or sudden changes, we've seen really high numbers of texts and people very distressed, because if you're in an anxious time anyway, and then something changes and there's something on the news or that you see something on your social media that isn't what you expected, that's been really difficult for people. So, you know, school closures have been really difficult for young people. Not all young people, some young people have been really happy at home. So it hasn't by any means been a sort of universal experience. You know, some people have found some elements of the pandemic actually all right, and others have found other elements more difficult. And of course, we've had so much change over the last year, you know, and we've seen, I suppose, a bit more around, you know, a bit more issues around relationships, because, you know, we've all been squeezed in a bit tight together in our kind of home relationships. But other people have been, you know, really experiencing really acute loneliness and sense of isolation and disruption. So all of those things are really valid. You know, whatever your experience of the pandemic has been is your experience, and if it's caused you some difficulties or some problems, then, you know, then we'd love to talk to you about it.
I think you hinted at it before, but the texting nature of the service, do you think that sort of worked for you in terms of the pandemic, when people were in houses where there may have been several family members, certainly within the house, maybe within the same room, that actually the texting was something that allowed them to have that conversation without the fear of stigma or stigmatization.
Yes, absolutely. And very practically, without the fear of sort of being overheard, I suppose. But also, you know, we're available 24/7. And what we find is that, you know, people can often find ways of distracting and managing how they're feeling during the day. But as it gets later at night, that's more difficult. And of course, that's when it's more difficult to often to reach out. So having a text-based service, which is available for people, you know, whatever time of day or night, means that you can have that conversation in a very sort of safe and warm conversation, you know, in the middle of the night, if that's when it's the right time for you, and that's when you need the help and support. And, you know, we all know those early hours of the morning can be pretty tough.
Can I ask you about the service sort of moving forward now? Because we're about to enter this period of time now. For a lot of people, life will return to normal on the 17th of May, you know, nightclubs aside. 21st of June potentially being this other date where suddenly everything is, quote, back to normal. And I'm very minded in the conversations that I'm having when it comes to people's mental health is that, one, normal wasn't working out fantastically for a lot of people anyway. But yeah, also that potentially issues which have emerged during this time may take some months or even years to emerge. So I'm guessing you're not saying to all your volunteers, right, from the 21st of June, you're all on, you know, leave and you can have some time off. You must be prepared for a period of time where this sort of hangover from lockdown or the pandemic or the return to normal life will come with some sort of impact, which I guess you've got to try and guess, create, you know, some sort of bar chart or flow diagram for, to try and just work out what resources you might need during that time.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. I mean, we, you know, we do expect and we hope, I mean, also if we get some nice weather actually has a big impact on people's mental health. And you know, I know that the theme of Mental Health Awareness Week this week has also been about nature. And, you know, we always really encourage people, you know, take a walk, listen to music, you know, just, you know, be kind of out there. And so good weather is good. And you know, we know that that has an impact. I think we're always very aware of those kind of moments and events and times that might be very difficult for people. So, you know, young people returning to school and then young people having that, you know, that kind of long period of time in the summer holidays where, you know, it might be more difficult. The return to school in September might be more difficult. You know, we've got sort of exams but not exams. You know, I think there's you know, there's still all the kind of anxiety for young people around results. I think for other people there are anxieties definitely around the economy and how is the economy going to recover and how might that impact on them. There will be people that have lost their jobs, as we know. There is a phenomenally extraordinary group of frontline workers who have, you know, kept us going for a long time, and particularly those in health and social care, that, you know, that job doesn't go away. You know, the pressures of the pandemic will be replaced by the pressures of, you know, of what had to stop during the pandemic. And so, you know, that group of people, we have you can text frontline to 85258, and again we're very, very keen to continue to be there for people that have really kind of gone that extra, not even mile, 100 miles over the last period of time. So we do expect there to be quite a long tail. We also expect that that for some people the sense of, I guess, the collective sense of purpose has actually been really great for some people, and they might find it difficult to go back into a kind of, as you say, you know, whether it's completely normal or as it was before, but an environment where, you know, we see other issues, other worries kind of coming back into our sort of consciousness, where we've been able to sort of park them for some time. So yes, we don't expect the numbers, the demand for our service to decline. It remains to be seen beyond those kind of moments whether it continues to increase at the rate that it has.
And it's great to know that, you know, the service is available if people need it, either now, if they need it in, you know, 2 months' time, or if they need it in 6 months' time, that texting Shout to 85258 gets that response, and people are trained to respond in the appropriate way. Can we talk about some celebrity names? Just because people could listen to Mick and Victoria speaking all day, but sometimes when people of a certain influence and profile lend themselves to promoting campaigns like this, it has a huge impact just because their voice is so widely heard. So when you've got royalty, including David Beckham in that, because he's basically royalty now, isn't he? You've got footballers, actors, people who are so well known, who are speaking openly about their experiences and openly encouraging people to come forward as well. That must make a huge difference in terms of people then thinking, oh, well, if David Beckham says it, or if the royal family says it, maybe that is something that might be suitable for me.
Yeah, and we've seen that, you know, so obviously the Heads Together campaign, which ran in 2016-17 and was the sort of the genesis for Mental Health Innovations and Shout, was very much about sort of amplifying that message. And these things always have, I think, you know, the sort of well-known people talking about it always has a fantastic effect in terms of people feeling comfortable to reach out. And I'm so pleased to see that there are, you know, amazing people from across the generations. A lot of young people use our service, but we're really keen for older people to feel that, you know, we are not a service just for young people. We've got volunteers who are 18 to 80. And we've got, you know, we're there for absolutely everyone. So I'm very excited to see, you know, the legends that are Joanna Lumley and Dame Shirley Bassey, you know, also talking about it. Because for that, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about mental health in younger generations, and we still have a long way to go. But it's a more common conversation, and we've talked a lot, I think, quite rightly, about the impact of the pandemic on a younger generation who've kind of had to put their life on hold and have been amazing in doing that. But also it's had a phenomenal impact on older people. And, you know, the shielding, the isolation, the being separated from your families, you know, all those sorts of things, I think, you know, have been so difficult for people. And often, you know, people feel that that's not a reason to reach out for help and support, but it really is.
Absolutely. And you probably had similar conversations yourself. When I speak to young people about mental health, or I get asked to sort of give talks on the subject, they'll be really sort of, yeah, fine, yeah, absolutely, I completely agree with you. And sometimes if it's in a school, it'll be the teachers who at the end will come to me and go, oh, the thing you said about X, Y, or Z. And I'll realise that actually the stigma didn't lay with the young people, be it high school or university students. It was people from older generations who had never really considered mental health in the way that the conversation would frame it. And I think that's kind of where we've got to think when we try and put out messages, that we have to bear in mind, don't we, that it's got to be for everybody, or everybody Absolutely. Will have a different response, because everybody's been brought up in a certain way, thinking a certain way about mental health and what the implications of talking about mental health might be. It's brilliant that a younger generation is feeling much more positive about it, but that doesn't mean we abandon the older generations as being, well, past it and you can't teach an old dog new tricks, because I think they're open to that conversation. It just needs that moment to think, maybe I'll start that conversation today.
Yeah, and also definitely thinking about, you know, that it isn't, you know, that whole sort of stiff upper lip thing, you know, which is really ingrained in so many of us. I mean, that's it's important. We have kind of endured a lot through the last period, and we have had an extraordinary kind of fortitude in being able to do that. Reaching out for a bit of help and support doesn't mean that you failed to kind of cope. It just means that, you know, that you just right now you need a little bit of help, and that's absolutely normal, and that's what will enable people to continue. So getting a little bit of a boost, you know, talking to someone about it, feeling that you've been, you know, heard and listened to, is the way of carrying on. I think that, you know, the more we internalize these things, the more we don't talk about them because we don't want to burden someone, or we want to just kind of carry on being strong, probably shortens the period of time that we can be strong for.
Absolutely,
Yeah, so
absolutely.
we're very keen that anyone of any age reaches out to us, or any other organisation, or, you know, family member, whoever it is, just have that conversation.
I've got to ask you this question because it will annoy me if I don't ask. You know, when you get text speak and people text in a different way to the way in which they write, do you have to train your volunteers to understand certain phrases or emojis to know what they would be? Because I imagine that sometimes if someone's trying to express themselves, they may use all kinds of different language or emojis or, you know, the text symbols that we've come to find, you know, so normal. But if you misread them, I guess that might be potentially problematic. So do you have a little log of sort of things that people need to be aware of?
Yeah, so there's a lot of text speak sort of training, but also so alongside when you volunteer on our platform, there's a little kind of chat function, so the volunteers and our clinical team can chat to each other in a sort of open forum, and that is full of what does, you know, LMAO mean, what does, you know, all those sorts of things, and it does kind of floor you. It's one of the great things actually about, and the other thing from a volunteering perspective about text is that someone sends you a text and you do have time to kind of, you know, to look at it and go, oh my gosh, I don't even really know what that means. And because you're on a laptop, you can quickly Google it, or you can ask one of the other volunteers, you can get that sort of help and support. So it's one of the benefits for us and for our volunteers in being on text is you've got a bit more time to respond. But I always dread the IDK.
Oh, hang on, IDK, I don't know.
I don't know. So you kind of go, tell me, you know, when we always sort of say to people, you know, tell me a little bit more about how you're feeling, tell me a little bit more about, you know, what might have worked in the past, you know, when you felt this way, and you just get the IDK. That's sometimes a bit of a, okay, we're going to have to really kind of, you know, dig into this one. And it is interesting. We try... with our, you know, from our perspective, to not kind of disappear into text speak, because that, you know, that can sort of shorten the conversation. So we always send people, you know, a longer reply. But it is important. Yeah, you've got to know. And the the emojis can be pretty challenging too.
There's still a few that I don't know. There's one which is two hands that I think look like they're praying, but I think it's supposed to be a high five. And that can be a very different thing of if someone goes like that, are they going, you know, say a prayer for, or are they going, hey, isn't it great? Let's all high five. And it reminds me of when LOL started, when people would say, people thought LOL meant lots of love. So then you'd get a text from your auntie saying, your uncle Albert has died, lol. Thinking that they were saying lots of, and you'd go, hang on a minute. But, you know, I think it's an issue, which I guess, is an issue very specific to the medium in which you work, which is why I wanted to ask you about it. So thank you for responding in the way that you have. Just in terms of that, and as well, I think you've hinted at it throughout the conversation, in terms of if people do text the service, what's that immediate response? You know, because some people might go, well, are they going to not want to know who I am, where I am, my full name, my address, and those sorts of things? Or does the conversation start straight away? Can you give us a sense of that?
Totally straight away. So if you text 85258, text shout to 85258, you will get a few automated messages that just explain the service and also let you know that, you know, you're through, as it were. And then you're connected directly to one of our volunteers. We might ask you your first name, because that can, you know, that can help through the conversation. And we do sometimes ask texters their age, you know, particularly if they're young. If we think, you know, they might be young, but that's all we would ever ask you. And you don't have to fill in a form. You don't give us any personal information around your address or anything like that. And it will be an absolutely sort of confidential, anonymous conversation. So you don't have to tell us your name. You don't have to tell us anything. We do, you know, we will have that conversation with you, with anyone who texts in, and it's completely free. It won't show up on your bill. So if you're not paying your phone bill, don't worry. You know, the person paying the bill won't say, what is this 85258 here? It won't show up on your bill. And you know, we won't contact you again. We don't ever contact people outside of them contacting us. So it's very much the texter is in control of the conversation. They can tell us as much or as little as they want to let us know. And if they stop the conversation, so if you feel that the conversation is not working for you, text stop. That ends our conversation with you, and we don't kind of, you know, try and contact you back and say, hi, you texted us a bit earlier, you know, would you like to carry on the conversation? Very much that the texter is in control of the conversation.
Obviously, your volunteers are sort of trained to make sure that conversation is sort of active and proactive in terms of where the conversation turns, to make sure that those things get explored. At the end of a conversation, do you often, or do you ever signpost to different services or point people in another direction?
Yes, absolutely. And that's usually part of, you know, there are sort of five stages to the conversation. So the first is where we sort of build rapport. So, you know, you want to kind of build as much as you can, a bit of a sort of relationship. So we always introduce ourselves. So always this, you know, thanks very much for texting in. My name is Victoria. You know, we kind of build that relationship. And then we do the exploring phase. And then we always try and move people on, if we can, to a sort of plan for what they're going to do next. And as I said earlier, we always want that to be that they can identify someone that they're happy to talk to. That's not always possible. Everyone doesn't, you know, necessarily feel that way. And sometimes what people want is a bit more specialist advice and support. So they might be looking for a specific piece of help or information in order to help them take that next step. So we have a whole range of more specialized organizations that we and helplines that we signpost people onto, and also digital tools and resources that we also sign people onto. And we also, so we provide our service as a sort of crisis messenger for about 40 other charities. So sometimes we'll have a very much a sort of back and forth between, you know, someone's come to us, has texted us because they've come across our number through a different organization. And maybe that organization, you know, maybe it's at nighttime when that organization isn't open. And so we'll have a plan for how they can contact that organization in the morning. But what are you going to do now that's going to help you to stay calm, to, you know, to feel more relaxed so that you can carry on with, you know, you often get some sleep and then carry on with that plan in the morning. So we do signpost really widely to other organizations, and it's very much a kind of, there is a sort of ecosystem around mental health and other issues as well. You know, some people need help with housing or finance, so we can signpost people on to a whole range of organizations.
Brilliant stuff. Victoria, thank you so much for your time today. Good luck with both the minute itself, fingers crossed as well, that people continue to hear those positive messages, to text shout to 85258 as well. I'll continue saying it. I say it at the end of all my programs. It's included in the spiel that I have, because I think that signposting is absolutely crucial, and it's something I'll continue to do. Thank you for joining us today, and best of luck with shout and wherever you turn to next.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your support. It means a great deal.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.